Our text is found in 1 Kings chapter 18. We've come to verse 41 of chapter 18. We'll read through the end of the chapter as we come to the study of Elijah on Mount Carmel. And having heard God's answer by fire, we now will look together at the prayer of Elijah for the return of blessing. 1 Kings 18. We read God's word beginning at verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again," seven times. And at the seventh time he said, "Behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea." And he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down, lest the rain stop you." And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment, and he ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This is the reading of God's infinite, infallible, and holy word. Beloved in the Lord, as we come to the study of Elijah on Mount Carmel, and we follow now the prayer that he had offered for God to answer by fire, we now come to the point at which God's blessing returns. But what we find is first that there were two problems that Israel had that must be corrected, if you will, that must be dealt with before the return of blessing could occur. Of course, the first problem was that Israel had forsaken the Lord. We have seen this utter rejection of the Lord by the incorporation of false worship into the life of the people of Israel, and when they worshiped Baal, the false god. They had forsaken the Lord, so that was their first problem. The second problem is linked to the first. They had aroused the wrath of the living God, and the wrath of God had rested upon them, and they needed rest, and they needed relief from that hand of judgment. And Israel did not want to recognize either of these problems. But on Mount Carmel, they were placed squarely in front of and brought to their attention these two issues, and they were settled there by the prayer of the prophet Elijah. And so I'd like you to remember with me that Elijah had prayed that God would once again bless his people. And the passage at which we have begun to read this evening is the point at which that blessing comes and returns to the people of God. But we must remind ourselves, first of all, that the prayer that Elijah prayed was rooted, grounded in that covenant relationship between God and his people. That had to be restored before the blessing would return and the rains would come. And by grace, God restores that covenant relationship. The people of God had become unfaithful. They broke the covenant with God and his people. And covenant breaking was dealt with by the removal now of the false religion and the false adherents and priests of Baal. And as we saw in the previous verses to this scripture reading this evening, we saw that God had not only answered by fire, but that the people had declared that the Lord was God, and the judgment of God fell upon the priests of Baal, and the wrath of God was removed when the cause of his judgment was dealt with and the idolatry of the people was removed from Israel. You see, for the blessing to come, there had to be a removal of the cause of judgment. There had to be a removal of that which made it so that God would judge his people for their sin. They had to deal with the sin of their idolatry. And this is what has happened there on Mount Carmel. We find that that's the case all throughout Scripture. Later in the course of the Old Testament Scriptures, there is the story of Hosea the prophet, whom God calls to serve and to be his servant and declare his word to Israel. And you'll recall that Hosea was commanded by God to do something very strange, to marry a woman by the name of Gomer, who was a prostitute. And Hosea obeys the Lord, and he calls this woman to be his wife, and she is to reject her way of living, and she is called upon to forsake her adulteries and her sin in order for the blessing of that relationship to be established. And that's a picture of how God calls his people to forsake their adulterous way, spiritually speaking, to put away their adultery, to put away their idolatry, and to serve only him. And we find that that's the case all throughout Scripture. It's the case for us as well. God calls us to put away our sin before his blessing falls upon us. If you were to go to work and build a house, and you found as you were building that house that it had a foundation that had a serious fault in it, a crack of some kind, would you stop your labor? And would you stop your building to restore that foundation, or would you just ignore it? If you know what you're doing when it comes to building, you certainly would take the time to correct the fault. And there was a fault in the foundation between God and his people, and it was that covenant relationship. The fault, the break, was on the part of Israel, and they had been called now by this incident of Mount Carmel to come back and to serve the Lord. And having restored this covenant relationship through repentance, now the prayer that Elijah is going to offer can be given. Now the prayer can be prayed for rain and for blessing. The prayer would have been entirely out of order unless the covenant relationship had been reestablished through repentance. If the people of God had not acknowledged God as God, the fire from heaven would not have come and sealed the prayer of Elijah and destroyed and burned up and consumed the sacrifice on Mount Carmel and signified that God was once again at peace with his people. If the people of God had not put away their idolatry and their sin, the blessing of God could not come. But they put away their idolatry, and they confessed that God is the Lord, and then it was proper, and only then, that the prayer Elijah prayed would be offered. And his prayer, of course, was an acknowledgement that everything is of grace. His prayer, when he asked in that prayer on Mount Carmel for the fire to fall and to consume the sacrifice, was a prayer that rested in grace. And it's all of grace. And when that answer comes, the answer comes and indicates that God is removing the judgment upon his people because the covenant breaking had come to an end. And it signified and it signaled to Israel that the judgment of 3.5 years of drought, 3.5 years of drought had come to an end. The people on Mount Carmel confessed God is God, and they were returning to him in loyalty and obedience. And so they executed the priests of Baal. They exercised that covenant obedience, obeying the word of God and removing the false teaching out of Israel. And then the prayer of Elijah for the blessing of rain is not only right, but proper and good. Prayer must rest in obedience to the way that God has revealed himself in his word. Prayer must rest in obedience and in repentance and in a restored relationship between God and his people, or it is not a prayer that God will answer. And that's the way it is with us in our relationships as well. We have to repair and restore broken relationships. It holds with our relationships one another as well as with our relationship with God. But too many people today would like to just have relationships repaired and just go on from here, they say. And instead of reconciling with one another by forgiveness and restoring that broken relationship on the basis of forgiveness, we just sweep things under the carpet and hope that we can go on. That's not the way that we are to repair and restore relationships with one another. And it certainly is not the way God restores his relationship with his people. In the scriptures, we find God is restoring his relationship with his people on the basis of their repentance. And that's how God does that with us as well. He does that through our repentance and our trust in Jesus Christ, because in the cross, which is God's way of reconciliation, he restores us to fellowship with him so that we can call upon him as our Father in heaven, as our God and Father for Jesus' sake. Because in the cross of Jesus Christ, there has been an atonement for sin and a reconciliation with God. God first forgives, and then God blesses. You can't reverse the two. Forgiveness precedes the blessing. And that's what's happening in this passage. The forgiveness is that which precedes the blessing and the prayer of Elijah. And now the way is clear. The way is open for Elijah to turn to the Lord and to pray. And notice that as the passage that we have read opens, it says, Ahab, he says to Ahab, the prophet Elijah says, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of the rushing of rain. Now, when we read that, did you think, that's pretty odd? I didn't hear any rain. Did you? I'm sure that that was what everybody was saying. Did you hear any rain? I didn't hear any rain. But what is it that he told Ahab? There's the sound of the rushing of rain. That's a signal to us of the utter confidence that the prophet Elijah had that God was going to bless his people with rain. And remember, this is the same prophet who, on the basis of the infallible word of God, stood before the prophet Ahab, and I'm sure he stuck out his bony finger and said to Ahab, I'm here to tell you that for the next 3 years there isn't going to be a drop of rain and not even any dew, because I stand before the living God and I promise you that there isn't going to be anything at all. The same prophet is now saying to the same king, the rain's coming. And Elijah then, on the basis of faith, faith that God was going to bless his people, the people that he had covenanted to bless, because he had reestablished that covenantal bond with them and that relationship was restored, God was going to bless them with rain. And Elijah's prayer for rain could only be raised in faith after the apostate people of Israel had repented. But when they repented, there was ground for the prayer again, because they were restored through repentance to the place of blessing. Now his prayer could lay hold of the promise of God. Now his prayer could reach out and hang on to what God had revealed in his word that said, when you obey me and when you honor my word, I will bring rains upon the land. The prophet struggles now in prayer for the needs of the people, and the king does not find time to pray as he should have. It's interesting, isn't it? Do you find Ahab's behavior very telling? Remember before, when there was no rain, what was Ahab doing the whole while that Elijah was off in another land? It tells us in our scripture, busy looking for grass for the animals. It was his animals he was concerned about, not his people. Here, Elijah should have been humbled by what he had observed on Mount Carmel and the answer of God by fire consuming the sacrifice, where the Lord revealed himself in glory, but Ahab does not seem to care at all for the people of God, or for the word of God for that matter as well. He finds no time to pray as he should have. as the king of God's people, but Elijah prays, and Elijah seeks the face of God, and having the covenant restored, and the covenant problems of disobedience answered by the turning of the hearts of the people once again to the Lord, the setting is now ready for the people to receive the promises of God. And Elijah prays those promises. He pours his soul out in prayer, and he asks for a gift which he knew already that God was going to give. And how do we know that he knew already that God was going to give the rain? Because it says so in the Word of God. Elijah rested his prayer on the gracious promise of God. You see, if Elijah had gone, or if Elijah did not go to Ahab in the first place, in obedience to the Word of God, there would have been no blessing and there would have been no rain. But there would also have been no blessing and no rain if he had not prayed, because without prayer, the blessing is lost. Here is the lesson for us. God has ordained prayer as the way, or if you want to call it, the rule. We have rules in many ways. And one of the rules that God has stipulated in his word is that he's going to bless us through prayer. Elijah knew that. He could read that in God's word. And as he reads God's word, particularly God's word in Deuteronomy, which says that if you will obey me, I will pour out the rains upon the land, Elijah, on the basis of the word of God, prays in accordance with that word, and the promise of God is unfolded and blessing comes, because that's how God operates. We found the same thing to be true in the story of Abraham and his servant Eleazar, who went at the behest of Abraham to find a wife for Abraham's son Isaac. And we find that this godly man, as he goes on an impossible journey for an impossible task, would you really want to be charged with going and finding a wife for somebody? That's not how we do it these days, but that's what the Bible says. He sent him on this task, but this servant Eleazar, who is also a man of faith, says, I being in the way, the Lord led me. He prayed that God would lead him to that right individual. And that prayer in obedience to God was blessed. He got what he prayed for because he prayed in faith. And the rule of God's covenant is that God's people, if it's an Eleazar or if it's an Elijah or if it's you or me, is that we pray in faith. And that we come to God boldly with our requests and our plea based on his faithfulness to his covenant, not based on what we can muster up in terms of a crafty prayer or words that we think will get God's attention. No, we simply need to reach out with the hand of faith and call upon God to be faithful to his word, to do what he says in his word. What does he say? Ask and it shall be given. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Rest on the faithfulness of God who hears the prayers of his people. And all through Scripture, God has given us that rule for prayer. Ask and you shall receive. But you must ask, because God has ordained that that's how he's going to bless us. And that's why prayerlessness, the lack of prayer, is such a sin. A terrible sin. Because if we don't pray, if we don't wrestle in prayer, if we don't seek the face of God, we're suggesting in some way that we're smarter than God, who said in his word, you have not because you ask not. Ask of me, the scripture says, and God says he will bless you as his people. Elijah understood that, and he calls upon God. And notice, he doesn't give up. This is one of my favorite passages on prayer. Sometimes we skim over it quickly, but did you notice? He told his servant, go check it. He must have been at that point where he couldn't see what was happening over there in the region of the lake. And on that mountainside, he must have been positioned where he had to send the servant off to the promontory so they in the overlook so he could see. And so he said, go over there and take a look. What do you see? Nothing. He comes back. Now, wouldn't most of us kind of say, well, what's the use? I prayed. And what did I get? Nothing. Prayed for rain, Elijah could have said. What do we get? Servant comes back and he says, nothing. But Elijah didn't give up, did he? And it tells us that he did it 7 times. He persisted in prayer until God answered the prayer that God promised he would answer. He persisted in the prayer. And he prayed in faith, knowing that God had to answer that prayer because God had said he would in his word. And the blessing comes in the asking. So often the blessing is lost because we fail to pray. We fail to pray according to the promises that are revealed in the word of God. Without prayer for Israel, there would have been no rain because God had ordained that it is when you pray that he would bless them. And unfortunately, in the 3.5 years of drought, that's the one thing we don't hear a word about, isn't it? Though the inspired writer of Holy Scripture doesn't say that there were people praying for rain. It just simply omits that. They failed to pray. They failed to pray for the blessings in accordance with the word of God. There was no remorse at that point for sin. There was no contrition of heart. There was no brokenness and humbleness before God for having committed such grievous sins against him. It was a people who gave no thought to prayer, and unfortunately today there are many who fail to receive the blessings because they fail to obey the rule of prayer and ask boldly by faith and pray. And we must ask ourselves if this does not describe us as well at times. Do we give any thought to prayer? Remember, prayer is God's rule, the manner in which he is going to bless us by asking in faith, based upon his word. And the bountiful blessings that he pours out upon us when we pray in faith are rooted and grounded in that covenant relationship that God has made with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. That should be an encouragement in and of itself to prayer. But God has given us more promises and more encouragements to prayer. Here we find a joyful encouragement for the fulfillment of God's word. God had already promised that when his people returned to him, he was going to bless them. That's why Elijah prays. And he prays until God answers that prayer and God manifests his power through prayer. Prayer is what God has designed to accomplish his will. So many people say, well, why should we pray if God is going to do it anyway? The answer is simply God told us to pray. I don't think we need a whole lot of an explanation behind that to get us to the point where we say, I guess we ought to pray then, unless we have some kind of an idea that we're smarter than God, which I hope we don't, because if God said so, then what should be our response? Yes, Lord, that's exactly what I'll do. And prayer is what God has designed so that through it, he will accomplish his purpose. Turning to the pages of the New Testament scripture, we find in the Gospel of Mark a wonderful passage where the Lord Jesus himself says, whatsoever thing you ask when ye pray, that ye shall receive. There's no ifs and ands or buts in that sentence. There's a definiteness about it in the words of the Lord himself. He said, you will receive, because God has ordained that through prayer, he will accomplish his purposes. Now, that's not presumption. But that's acknowledging that we're totally helpless and unable to accomplish anything unless God does it. And that gives all the praise to God, who answers the prayers of his people, and it should inspire a greater reverence in our lives and more worship of the sovereign Lord, who is sovereign over all things because he's faithful to his word. And that brings us back again to the prayer of faith offered by Elijah. Notice that it says he prayed seven times. We've mentioned that. James in the New Testament picks up on it. And he picks up on the life of Elijah, who was a man of prayer. And he says he prayed and it didn't rain, and he prayed again. And what does James the Apostle write in James chapter 5 when he signally takes Elijah out of the Old Testament scripture and sets him as an example for us of prayer? He's putting Elijah there as an example of prayer so that you and I might pray like Elijah prayed. Now, I'm not suggesting that we're going to pray down some fire from heaven, but I am suggesting that the promises of God's word for us, as they were for Elijah, are the firm foundation upon which our prayer may rest. God answers prayer. Elijah knew that, and so he persisted in prayer seven times, resting upon the covenant promises of God. And only then could he say, "It's done." And his prayer turned into the cry of jubilation when the cloud and the rain were spotted and was a signal of the return of blessing upon the people of God. And what a blessing it was. He had to warn Ahab to get going so that his wheels in the chariot wouldn't get stuck in the mud. And, you know, just think about it. What mud? 3.5 years of drought is not going to provide a lot of mud in the land of Israel. But Elijah knew better. The abundance of rain, it tells us. Rain, as well as the 3.5 year drought, were inexplicable by natural law. No one can control nature. Only God can control these things. This passage is only understood as it's bound up with the word of God through the word of the prophet Elijah, the blessing of God. And when the rain came, the curse of God was lifted from his people. When the rain came, God was coming in the clouds of rain, as it were, with the rain of blessings upon his people, showing once again that he was demonstrating his blessing and his favor upon Israel. And that's what God does for us as well as we obey him. He blesses us in the way of faith. And Elijah prayed in faith, because faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the scripture tells us. The assurance that God is going to answer his prayer when we pray. Elijah didn't go onto the top of Mount Carmel and pray the prayer for the fire, or the prayer in this passage for rain, with a giant "I hope so" in his back pocket. He went in the confidence of faith in the living God, whose word never fails. And he was assured that God would hear him, because he was assured on the basis of the word of God that when we pray in obedience to the word of God and in faith, that what God has promised, he will do. Isn't that the same thing that happened in the life of our father Abraham, who was assured of something that was yet unfulfilled in his personal experience? He had a hope. Abraham had a hope that was centered upon the promise that God had given him. And he knew that God couldn't lie. Whatever God said was going to take place, you can bank on it. And so the promise that God gave him was secure, and he lived in the hope of that promise. But the scriptures tell us in Hebrews that he didn't see the promised land, as it were, given to him, but he had the eye of faith that rested in the promise of God, that promise was beyond Palestine, the city of God, which God would bless him. He was called a man of faith. And Abraham, like Elijah, were men of faith. And we are called to be a people like Elijah, who by faith believe the promises of God. And the blessing comes through faith in God. Elijah believed what he did not see, didn't he? He believed that there was going to be on the other side of what he couldn't see. So he sent his servant over there. Do you see it yet? Nope. Do you see it yet? Nope. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. He had an expectancy that God was going to do something, because it was rooted in the fact that God's word is true. He believed the promise of God. There's a passage in 2 Samuel that I think is one of the most astounding prayer requests that are in all of Scripture, 2 Samuel 7:25, where the prayer is simply this: do as thou hast said. Now that's bold, to tell God to do something. And that's what Elijah was doing in this passage. But in 2 Samuel 25, it says, do as thou hast said. In other words, God has already said, I will do it. And he wants us to pray. And so that's why we ask him to do these things, that he might be glorified in them. The psalmist says, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. When the people of Israel were in front of the Red Sea and the Philistines were pursuing, I meant the Egyptians. Well, the Philistines came on the scene later. They did the same thing, but at the Red Sea, it was the Egyptians. What happened? The Red Sea opened in answer to prayer. Later in the life of the people of Israel, in answer to prayer, water from the rock would gush forth and provide the needs of God's people. In battle with the enemies of God, the sun would stand still. Mercy would come upon the people of Israel, and Jacob would find blessing at Peniel and prayer. All of these are instances that demonstrate the great power of God that is poured out upon his people who cry out in faith when they pray. And it is the people of God who can call out upon the name of God and say, bless me. Do as thou hast said, because God has promised that he would do so. But we must do this in faith, rooted in his revealed word, as an Elijah on Mount Carmel, and as he prayed on the top of the mountain for the rains to come, because it's prayer that is rooted in faith that God hears, as it's linked to the promise of his word. And the great blessing for you and for me today is this, that God is giving us this word of comfort as well to those who are in Christ, safe in him, that he will work out all things for our good, and that nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, that enables us then to sing as well as to say, I am his and he is mine, because all of that is revealed in Scripture, and he has revealed that invitation to prayer, that we might pray, that we might know the blessing of God, that he might pour out his blessing upon us as his people, that he might be glorified in our prayer, through our prayer. He calls us to pray, but that prayer must be rooted in that relationship of faith. It must rest by faith in the promise of God. And it must reach out to the hand of God and believe the promise of God, so that God will glorify himself by the means that he has ordained through prayer the prayers of his people. Hear this call to prayer. Let us pray together.